Call of the Werewolf. It was near dark when Tony Greenwell finished the chores in the barn and started to walk the house. The air had grown colder. Tony noted the bloody orange glow, now fringed and timbered ridge of the east. Another 10 minutes, a big old moon, full moon, would come up poking up over the trees. He knew. The sunny on the crisp air, there came a low, mournful cry of a wolf. Jody stopped in his tracks, hairs and nape of his neck stiffened, and felt goose pimples running down his back and arms. Yet there was something strange and compelling about that wolf call. Without realizing it, he turned and stepped towards a wooded slope. "Where do you think you're going?" Voice was his father's. Jody turned and saw the older man step from the back door with his rifle in the crook of his arm. "Why, I..." Jody stammered. "I just figured to climb the hill a bit to look. And the moon, wait a minute, couple of minutes. You'll be able to see her from here," the old man said. "Besides, it's just plain ain't good sense going up there in the woods without a gun. Now that the wolves are down from the night country again. Jason, I think I'm going over to Astell's," his father said. "Astell's lost some sheep last night. A bunch of us are going over there with guns and set a trap and elbow pass. And for those dog and wolves, using a small flock of sheep as bait, let me go with you." Your father shook his hand and we may be up most all night. "But there's no school tomorrow," Jody argued. "Sadly tomorrow." "Yeah, I know, but we've got to be in town to the dentist. And 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Did you forget that?" Jody shook his head, remembering. "And told by the Mercy who came to school, those eye teeth of yours are getting longer and sharper. They're like wolf fangs. Aside from being unsightly and ruining your bite, dentists can fall off a bite, I believe. In case of making an appointment for you to see him at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning." Watching his father step into the pickup truck and drive off towards Astell's, Jody stood for a long time in the yard, unmoving. Then the wolf cried sounded again, started up the slope of the timber, moving as though in a trance. There's no fear of him now, no rational thought. He was in the grip of a strange animal-like excitement that seemed to lift him out of the world of reason, to a world where only instinct ruled. High on the ridge was a spring that bubbled with a natural catch basin of rock and air. Jody paused for a drink. As he lowered his face to the mirror-like surface, basically suddenly shrank back in horror. The image reflected not his own except for the famed wolf tooth. Instead, clearly that of a wolf. Shock of it only sent him further into a state of hypnosis. However, for he felt no particular surprise at looking down at the thick grey hair and molted his arms and body over. Raised a vague that he was still human. The form of a wolf, one of those rare creatures seldom mentioned above a whip for a werewolf. A sound of whining growl behind him, he swung about to see a lean grey brown wolf a few yards away. He growled and showed his fangs. The other wolf of Weemill, quite plainly had no wish to fight, retreated a few mention steps, turned her head to look at him, and started slowly away into the night. Jody hesitated, but for a moment, while following her, trotted away towards the north. At last, the female wolf halted, abruptly sniffed the wind, and gave a short, sharp bark. Whole chorus of barks applied close to hand. This was a wolf pack. It had been making havoc on the wolf's livestock in the area. The past few days, and now Jody saw the sinking grey forms come out of the brush. On all sides, he felt a moment of panic, roughed his neck, standing straight up. Saw a sort of fantastic, deadliest calm turned over him. A great, bald wolf, obviously, the leader of the pack, came bounding up to Jody, snapping his teeth in challenge. Jody, no intention of disputing the dark one's leadership, till one of his other fangs painfully clipped with his ears, instinctively then, he whirled and ripped at the back, throat and his own with his own fangs. His suddenness of attack that accounted for its success, the Dark One showed his surprise by immediately trying to leap back. But he was too late. Jody already had a death grip on his neck. He hung on now with all the strength of his jaws, knowing the swift and deadly retaliation would come if he ever lost his hold. He rolled over and over on the ground, yet Jody still kept his grip on the other's neck. The Dark Wolf made a frenzied lunge, escape then. Abruptly, Jody felt the Dark One's throat give way and a gush of blood cover his own muzzle. He was dead car game. Though made one last attempt to come at Jody, his legs folded under him. He could not rise suddenly. The whole wolf pack charged in on him, literally ripping him apart. It was an order to fall him. Made a difference that the Chrome One had been their own leader but scant seconds before. Jody was sickened by the sight, by the taste of blood in his mouth. He turned and slunk away into the rush, wanting only to put as much distance as possible between him and that awful scene of carnage. Suddenly he became aware of change. Sounds behind him. He heard the high bloodthirsty hunting cries of pack. They lined on his trail. He was out to get him for running away. Rises made him worse than one they fought who'd fought and lost. He ran as he never ran before, and the cries packed behind him grew closer and closer. They're used to running for their lives, and he was not. He said as he fought for of them, closing on him as they had in the Dark One, but back there. He could now hear them close behind him. Now he knew they'd catch him within 100 yards. He saw movement, blotch of white, his path, sheep. This was Elba Pass. He remembered that once the trap his father and Estel and the other farmers had sent there, the wolves. It was then the deadly first day of shots ripped the night. Something struck his front leg like a blow of settling him. He rolled over and over again on the ground. He got up, ran again. Now his socks were all behind him, cutting down the pursuing wolf pack. Jody didn't stop running till he reached the banks. Back stooped to his house. Then he sat down, grasping air, and quietly passed out. He felt stiff when he came to. He got up and went to the Dark House. That was some nightmare he had, he thought. She lighted the lamp. Then he saw the bright burn of a billet made across the forearm and knew it had not been no dream. He examined the scratch in his ear when his father came in. "What are you doing? Stand up, Sky," said the golden man. "And how come you're marked up like that?" Jody felt fast. He said, "I sneaked out the elbow of the falls and what's the fun? But a bullet burned from a ricochet in my nail and cut my ear and branch. You sure cleaned up them, don't you?" "Yep," his father said proudly. "Don't think a one got away, though. There still claims there were one out ahead of the pack that he knocked down, but couldn't find hide or hair or afterwards. You'd better wash up the cuts and get to bed. You've got to see the dentist in the morning about them fangs of yours, you know." "Yes, sir," he said. "It'll be a pleasure," he thought.